children with us this morning, isn't it, this time of the morning? Well, I just want to do two things. I want to give them a gospel list and a prayer list this morning. And tell me, can any of you tell me what's the first three letters of the alphabet? Put your hand up. What's the first? Okay, you look intelligent. A, B, C. You must have graduated from this great school in Spanish Wells. A, B, C. Okay, now, here's for your prayer list over this weekend. All you young folks who pray, here's your A, B, C for prayer. Allen, Batts, and Clunas. That's your prayer list. Did you get that? That's Mr. Ed Allen, Mr. Larry Batts, and John Clunas. And pray for the last one more than the other two because he needs it more. But you pray for these fellas, okay? Because they need your prayer. Now that's your prayer list. Now I'm going to give you your gospel list. Are you ready? Okay, number one. John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God which bears away the sin of the world. Right? Okay, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, isn't that right? That's B, isn't it? I'm crazy. It's 6. What time in the morning is this, I tell you? That's B. That's the second one. I give you the wrong one first. The first one is, have you got a Bible there? Romans 3:23. You get it. I'm moving backwards this morning, I'll tell you. A backward brother. You got it for me? You can share my microphone. Come on and read it for me, okay? Come close to me. I'm not going to kiss you. I just want you to read it. Okay.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen. This is a great microphone. You can really pull people close to you with it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many are all? How many would you say all is? Everyone, isn't it? We said you're all going to get breakfast. How many would get breakfast? Everyone. Is that right? Would you like to be left out? No, that's right. Well, we discover that all have sinned and come short of God's standard. And the B, of course, we got is John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who bears away. Who's the Lamb of God? Does anyone know what the Lamb of God is? Who the Lamb of God is? Yes, Jesus. Isn't that right? You were just about to say it, weren't you? That's right. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God. And then the third one is this. You can never get well looking at a bottle of medicine, can you? You never get well looking at a bottle of medicine. You've got to take it. I mean, when it says shake 3 times a day, you don't stand in front of the medicine and go like this 3 times a day, do you? No, it doesn't mean you have to shake. It means you shake the bottle and you take it. Isn't that right? And then when you take it, it makes you feel what? Better? Well, we discover this, that Jesus, because of our sin, Jesus is the Lamb of God, died on the cross for our sins. Then we have to do something else. He's the remedy. He's the cure. And has anybody else got their Bible there? And in Romans 10:13. Come on, read it for us. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. A, B, C, A, all have sinned. B, behold the Lamb of God that bears away the sin of the world. C, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Wouldn't it be great to grow up and say, I remember being, this is the 22nd conference, isn't it, 22nd? Wouldn't it be wonderful to say, I got saved at 7 o'clock in the morning on the 22nd conference. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, when you ask the Lord into your life, then the Lord will save you. Your prayer list, Allen, Batts, and Clunas. Your gospel list, all have sinned. Behold the Lamb of God that bears away the sin of the world, and call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. And if any of the young folks or anybody today wants to get saved, isn't it wonderful? That's all we have to do. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. It doesn't feel like 7 in the morning. It feels like 5. But it's good to be with you this morning anyway. Will you open your Bibles with me this morning at Psalm 51? Our brother Larry last night was looking at sometimes there's a silence in our lives. And the question is, why? And I want to share with you, and I think as this conference goes on, it'll get progressive and we'll go through the truth of God. And as we go through the truth of God, I believe through the various speakers, we will come to see the causes, the cures, the antidotes for our malady within our hearts. Let's read then Psalm 51. We won't read the whole Psalm, but I want you to keep your Bibles open because we want to study it together this morning. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his own word. We'll be reading more as we go on today. Do you remember when you got saved and we began to sing, and I've stood there as an evangelist when someone's got saved and Christians have gathered round and they've sang, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Or maybe you were saved at night and you sing, oh, happy night when Jesus washed my black heart white. He taught me how to sing and shout and live for Jesus out and out. Oh, happy night when Jesus washed my black heart white. Then you got on the way. And as you got on the way for God and you began to move and you were living in the joy of the Lord, suddenly there seems to be a failure of divine power within your life. Suddenly there seems to be within your life something lacking. That joy, that excitement, that reality of knowing Christ was missing. And that silence that Brother Larry was beginning comes into your life and covers it, and suddenly you find yourself sinking down into the depths. And you know, you begin to wonder what had happened. And my friend, where I have a deep concern about the silence in the life of people, my concern in the days that I live in, that silence is in the life of too many of God's people. It's not in one or two. And one of the biggest problems I'm finding as an itinerant preacher going around is that our discouraged believers in discouraged assemblies all over North America. And as I preach the gospel, my friend, the greatest response in the gospel, and may I say in the last few months, the greatest response I've had has been from men, but one of the greatest response in the gospel is not just people getting saved, it's God's people getting back into line of the blessing that Christ has got for them. And I believe, my friend, that the patriot, the hymn in many fellowships today is this: where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And I believe this, my friends, from all my heart. We've lost the excitement of being saved. I believe God's got to take his people back to Calvary. Before I was saved, my friend, I was ecstatic, I was excited. Do you think that Jesus Christ cannot compete with the devil? Well, my friend, if he didn't, he wouldn't have me 31 years later on the 1st of May of this year. But because he's got a joy and a peace and a reality that comes into your life, that even when you go down, the blessing of the Lord is there in your life. My friend, I did a study of joy in the scripture, and then I know what I discovered. I discovered this joy was mandatory for the believer in every circumstance. that it wasn't how you felt. Thank God for that. It was because of who he was and who he is. And joy isn't dependent upon you, friend. Thank God, joy is dependent upon the fact that my Savior reigns today. We've lost sight of that, my friends. That's a reflection on us, not on the Christ of Calvary. Maybe it's a reflection on us preachers too. Because I want to tell you this, my friend. It's a known fact that churches take on characteristic of the leaders. And if you've unexcited leaders, then the church will take on that characteristic. You know, one of the things I'm finding as I travel around today, do you know who's touching the lives and exciting people within the assemblies more than any of us preachers are? Charles Stanley. Am I correct? If we took a poll here, it'd be very interesting to discover how many of you have a blessing from Atlanta or Memphis, Tennessee through Adrian Rogers. And that's a fact. Because I've asked believers and I say, well, tell me, why are you so excited about the Lord? Boy, I listen to Charles Stanley. And boy, he fires my soul up. But what about the preachers that come to the assembly? Well, I'd rather not talk about it, John. My friend, somewhere along the line, I think we've got to get back into the blessing of God and get into the blessing of God. And as we preach and share it, God will bless it. Now, what does it cost? Before you can have a cause, a cure, you must have a cause. Well, here's a man who was a very musical man. Not only was he a very musical man, he was a man who was called a man after God's own heart. Is that right? He loved music. But he was God's man. I'm amazed that he could love music and be a man after God's heart, because when I came into the assemblies, the first thing I had to do was throw the organ out. And yet God had a man after his own heart who's writing music. And my friend, we wouldn't have the argument in the assembly because the wooden brother wasn't baptized. The foolishness of the way we talk. I mean, literally, sit down and think of it logically. You try putting one of those old pump organs through the tank, and my friend, it'll be dead forever. But my friends, we've got caught up in the wrong thing. What is the problem? My friend, the problem is not the exterior, the problem is the interior. And here is a man who wrote music. He was a man after God's heart, and my, a year after committing a sin, my friend, a sin that indeed led him from adultery to deception to murder. Because one sin, my friend, doesn't stay at one sin. It leads us into a whole orchard. And my friend, the fruits of sin begin to abound. And he comes. And his relationship with God isn't broken. But his fellowship is. My friend, and when there's coldness and sin in our hearts, I don't believe our relationship with God is altered. But our fellowship with God is. And we're missing the joy of it. And oh, my friend, as we begin to look at this morning, what happens when a Christian sins? Well, I want to show you a biblical explanation. Exactly. That's why I want you to keep your Bible open. And if you have an argument with this, you see David when you get to heaven. Because, my friend, it's David who's sharing the depth of his heart. And when a Christian sins, my friend, we have to notice what sin does when we commit it. Now, our sin may not be David's sin, thank God. Although, let me say this, there was a day I would have stood in a platform over the last 30 years and not expect that, not today. I stand as God's servant, and I have to say to my shame, I'm no longer shocked about the sins that God's people are committing. There was a day when it would not be even mentioned among us. And there's a day when, beloved, we lived according to the whole holy standards of the Almighty. But I tell you, we're living in perilous days. And our standards sometimes are no higher than the world's. In fact, I know men in the world who have a high moral standard more than some believers, and we've seen it brought to face even among the preachers of the last year. Now, what is it? What does sin do? Okay, have you got your Bibles down? Well, eyes down. Amen? Let's look at it. I want to give you a little list of things that sin does in your heart, in your life. We discover that sin soils the soul in verses 1, 2, and 7. Look at this. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin, iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And what do we find, my friend? We find that sin is polluting our lives. We discover something else, that sin fills our minds. And surely the last part of verse 3 brings this out so clearly. For I acknowledge my sin, my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. You see, not only does sin pollute our souls, and that is soul is the real you and the real me, that is what we have fellowship with God with, and it pollutes that fellowship with God, and then it possesses our mind, my friend. And then, my friend, it stings the conscience. It's very significant, the opening words of verse 4, for he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He's conscious, my friend, that he's sinned against God. And so sin pollutes the soul. It fills the mind. It takes possession of us. One of the greatest sins, my friend, that takes possessions of the believers today is the sin of bitterness. And the sin of bitterness can make you absolutely and utterly physically ill. And bitterness is like a wound that begins to fester, and it becomes an open sore, and it begins, excuse the language, but it begins to spew out. And you know what? Other people get caught up in it. And other people get hurt by it. And who do you remember that makes the biggest impact on your life, my friends? Is it the person who's happily enjoying the Lord? Is it this person who's spewing out bitterness? Well, my friend, the person that's enjoying the Lord will bring blessing to your soul. The person who's living in his bitterness might send you home with an anguish and a hurt in your heart. And you know, there are some among us, friends, and I've seen this, and I'm old enough now to say it, that the only time we hear their voice is when there's controversy. Looked into the face of a man. When there was a little trouble came in the assembly, I looked into his face and said, "Brother, can I speak to you the truth to you in love?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I've been here 2 years. I've never heard you give out a hymn in the Lord's Supper. I've never heard you on your feet thanking the Christ of Calvary for ever saving you and for loving you and forgiving you. I've never heard you praise his name." I says, "And now there's a little bit of trouble. We can't shut you up." You know why, my friend? Because bitterness and carnality feeds on unhappiness and hearts. But oh, thank God, my friends, when the Spirit of God is moving in the church, when the warmth of the love of Christ is flowing through us, isn't it a precious feeling? I've preached the gospel where the Spirit of God has so moved that the believers have said to me afterwards, I was sorry I was saved tonight. I said, "Why?" "I wanted to get up at the end and get saved again." When God is moving and the love of Christ is there, my friend. Oh, the richness and the warmth and the blessing of knowing the Spirit of God. But my friend, sin soils the soul. Sin possesses the mind. No, friend, it stings the conscience against thee. And thee alone have I sinned. It's against God we've sinned, my friend. Then we discovered something else. It depresses the heart. And the opening verses of verse 8, the opening words of verse 8 show this. Make me to hear joy and gladness. It depresses the heart. You know what sin does? It depresses us, and there's no doubt about that at all. Here's a man who could write some beautiful praise. He was the forerunner of the scripture and song, wasn't he? I mean, David started the scripture and song, didn't he? He wrote God's words and they sang it. And they sang continually. Here was a man whose heart filled, was full of praising God. And they're looking at him. And you say to God, this is my soul's soil. And my mind's filled. And my conscience is stung. And oh God, my heart is depressed because I've sinned against thee. My friend, if we don't get there, realize it's against the Lord. But my friend, I tell you, there's a depression. And I'm not a pessimist. I think most of you know that. I'm an optimist. I see a light in a dark night. But my friend, there's a discouragement in many hearts, and we could preach against it, but there's a lot of people hurting in our assemblies today. And I want to tell you this, my friend, we discover that their hearts are depressed. That's not the way the Lord meant it, was it? What is it we sometimes sing? Jesus took my burden. I could no longer bear. Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided. My spirit was made strong. When Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Where did he do that? At Calvary. Friends, let's get back to Calvary. Get back to Calvary. My friend, it's at the cross I feel my best. It's at the cross I feel my how unworthy I am. But it's at the cross I feel the strength of the precious blood of Christ and the Spirit of God flooding my soul. And when my life and my mind is occupied with him, there's no depression there. You see, my friend, it's when sin comes in that I have a soiled soul and a filled mind and a conscience that is stung and a heart that's depressed. Oh, dear friends, but it doesn't stop there. You know, my friend, I was amazed what sin does in a life when I read this. It's really a comprehensive thing when sin takes over. Listen, let's go on. It not only depresses the heart, but it affects the body. The end of verse 8 reminds us of this. First few words, my heart's depressed, make me to hear joy and gladness. The last part, the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, my friend, when sin gets in here, it begins to permeate the whole body, isn't it? The whole being begins to be affected by that broken fellowship with the Almighty. And my friends, we discover this is the effects of sin. And sin, my friends, is something that we have to view. We've lost God's view of sin. We've trifled with sin. But my friend, it was sin that put Christ on the cross. Never forget. When even we come to the table and we take the emblems, you know, I used to say to my brethren at home, I come from a strict conservative Baptist background. I was going to say Baptist, but throw me out for saying that if I'd said it at home. A background is the word. You couldn't get in to break bread unless you had a letter. And even then we weren't sure about you unless we knew you. And if we weren't too sure about you, you didn't get past the back seat. Until one day I got up and I said to my brethren, I said, we're awful concerned about the folks who have come in. I says, I think we're doing it wrong, brethren. They said, what do you mean, John? I says, I think we should be concerned about the people who are already in. And I think God was concerned about the people who were ready in. For this is the little preface he puts at the Lord's Supper. He says, for let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread. He says, this is one for the unbeliever. This is for the Lord's people. Oh, friends, let a man examine himself. Is my soul soiled? Is my mind filled with bitterness? And we could all tell horror stories of the Lord's table, of people sitting together at the Lord's table who wouldn't shake their hands and rather die before they would do it. And God have mercy on us, beloved, because when we do that at the Lord's table, we're trifling with holy things. And I have seen miners sitting on a wall on the Lord's day morning as brethren threw each other out of the house of God. What a travesty to the name of Christ. When the spectacle in a mining village was to be go and sit on the wall opposite the gospel hall before the Lord's Supper. And one would give out the Lord's hymn and half wouldn't sing it, and someone would get up to pray, and then someone would come up and clear the emblems away. What a travesty of blasphemy in the house of God. It's time we dealt with these things, beloved. And I think to sit, my friend, and not communicate with your brother and sister and then partake in the Lord's Supper, it'll do you no good. Because you can't remember a Savior who, my friend, when he died, remembered everyone. Thank God the night I got saved, my friend. I didn't get saved because he liked me. Or that he liked and approved my lifestyle. He didn't look at the Father and say, hey, there's Clunas, it's 10:45 at night, let's save him. Approve of his lifestyle, put this seal of approval upon him. No, he said, there's an ungodly fellow who needs me. I don't like him, I love him, hallelujah. There's nothing in the old book about liking your brethren, but there's a lot in it about loving them. And I want to tell you, we're caught up in the question of divorce and we make big issues of it. And I don't approve of it. But let me tell you this, my friends. There's as much in the Word of God about loving your brother as there is about that. But we don't make such a big issue of it. And I want to tell you, he says, let a man examine himself. And he says, let him so. My friend, how can I touch that body? How can I take that cup to remember my Lord when I can't go across the aisle and put my arm round a brother or sister and say, I love you in Christ. I may not agree with them. Isn't that the beauty of the Spirit that God has given us? We're not all the same. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the church. I believe the church is the only institution in the world that can, my friend, cope with so many varieties of people. We have poor people, middle class people, rich people, all in the same building, all doing the same thing. Amen. The world can't do that. It's only Christ that can do it. Hey, let's make sure sin's kept at bay. It affects the body. My friend, and then it sours the spirit. Oh man, I tell you that. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. It sours the spirit. My friend, have you ever got blessed by a cardinal Christian? You go into the chapel on a Sunday morning and you meet that sister who's always moaning and groaning and complaining and everything's not the right color or the things are not the right way and there's no fellowship with them. Do you go home at lunchtime and say to your wife, well, you know, I met Mrs. So-and-so today and what a, she moaned and groaned for 20 minutes and what a blessing she was. You go home and you know what? Your spirit is jarred. Margaret and I, we try and go into the house of God with a smile on our face, even of our hearts and our boots, because that smile might be the means of picking another believer up. And I've had believers come to me when my heart was down in my boots and say, John, do you know what God did for me this week? And I'll say, no, tell me. I need to hear it. And will tell me what great thing the Almighty has done in their lives. And as they're talking, I feel my heart coming out of my boots back to where it should be. And by the time they're gone, some everyday, blessed, wonderful, glorious, simple faith believer has blessed me. Hallelujah. My friend, I want to tell you, there's a sure way to stop gossip and criticism. Don't pass it on. Worker said to me, he said, you know, John, he said, well, all the stuff I'm hearing, I says, I don't hear it. And he said, but look who you are. I says, who am I? And when people say that to me, I don't understand. I'm just a simple believer that loves Jesus. I says, what do you mean by that? Well, when somebody says to you about someone else, you go and call them. Well, I said, wouldn't you? I said, if somebody comes up and tells you something about me and said, John Clooney said this, wouldn't you want to verify that I said that? But I said, I'll tell you what, something it does to me, brother. I said, you must be listening to that junk, and they know you'll listen to that junk, and so they'll come and tell you that junk, but thank God they don't tell it to me, because, my friend, they know that I'll go and verify it. And I'm tired, my friend, of a movement that basically passes on hearsay and some of it is lies. And I say to you, brethren, don't pass anything on about anyone that you can't verify. Because, my friend, if you do it, you can ruin another man's reputation and the man has done nothing wrong just because there's been a personality clash somewhere and somebody doesn't like him, they want to kill him. And his reputation, and you could be the instrument of the devil, my friend, to destroy a good brother. And when it comes to you, you pick up the phone and say, Brother Ed, did you say? And you know what I'll tell you, you'll find 9 times out of 10, that's not the way he said it at all. But I'll tell you, when a soiled soul and a bitter mind, and my dear friend, a conscience has been stung and a depressed heart and an affected body and a sour spirit gets a message. By the time it passes it on, it's as sour as their own spirit. My friend, draw lines with the devil. Let him know where you are. And then, my friend, look what else it does. Why isn't sin a devastating thing? Look at it here. In verse 14 and 15, it seals the spirit, seals the lips. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. And my friend, sin seals the lips. I don't hear cardinal people praising the Lord. I have a whole lot of cardinal people for 31 years have been trying to shut me up. I just want to praise the Lord, you know. I've told you before, I'm neither charismatic nor rheumatic. I've only got what God gave me. It's been my biggest handicap. And I go and preach and I get excited about Jesus. I don't get excited about anything else. I don't have a football team I follow. See, I only back the winners and my team win every week. Hallelujah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We won at Calvary, and we're living in the victory of it ever since. My friend, that's what I get excited about. You don't have to be charismatic to get excited. I don't believe in tongues. I don't accept it, my friend. But I do believe in the filling of the Spirit. And that's biblical for the New Testament believer. And I want to tell you this, my friend. You don't hear the cardinal man saying, oh, praise God what he did for me. But you'll have him complaining about the paintwork. And I preached in a place in the north of England. And I said, oh, man, I can't believe this. Sometimes I open my mouth. I say, Lord, why are you letting me open my mouth? And then somebody says, you know what you said tonight? I said, you should have heard what I nearly said. And I preached this place, and I said, you know, folks, there's more trouble, I says, in many assemblies, but the color of paint on the walls and the carpet. After I preached, the brethren said, we'd like to see you, brother. Oh, man, not again, Lord. I'm in trouble again. You know, and I went up, and when the elders want to see you, it's bad news. You know, I said, what is it this time, brethren? How did you know? I hit the right wall. I actually pointed at a wall. I hit the right wall. And I pointed at that wall. I said, there's more trouble over the color of paint on that wall than the fact that people are going to hell. And he said, you know, John, there's someone in the meeting tonight. This is the first time in the back for 2 months because of the color of that wall. My friend, that person wasn't praising the Lord. I mean, I like bright colors, but my friend, I can still praise the Lord even if it was black. I'm not going to fight with you over your carpet. And yet, my friend, carpets have divided many a church. And yet, if somebody gets up and praises the Lord, they'll say, well, he's a bit Pentecostal, isn't he? Well, why should the Pentecostals have all the fun? I mean, I was brought up Reformed Presbyterian. I said Deformed Presbyterian, but it was Reformed Presbyterian. I mean, we weren't even allowed to whistle on Sundays. I was breaking the Sabbath day. Well, even allowed to whistle. I mean, that was a mortal sin to whistle on a Sunday. And then God saved me. I felt guilty about being saved because it's happy. And then I came in and I thought, boy, I looked at some of the brethren, I looked along the line, I thought, my, if you come here long enough, you get like that. And then one day I discovered, no friend, I discovered that Christ saved me and I should enjoy it. And I said, Lord, this is, I'm going out to enjoy it. And I've been enjoying it for 31 years, hallelujah, amen. You know that sweets they have in Britain called humbugs? They sell them up at Marks and Spencer's there. Humbugs, you can get them up there. Old fellow was preaching in Yorkshire, this man came up to him and he says, I want to tell you, he says, your gospel and your religion is a load of old humbug. And the old preacher said, you're sure right. He says, the longer you suck it, the sweeter it gets. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it exciting being saved? Amen. My friend, but I'll tell you what sin will do to you. Sin will soil your soul. Sin will fill your mind. Sin will sting your conscience. Sin will depress your heart. Sin will affect your body. Sin will sour your spirit. And sin will seal your lips. Have you seen them in the meeting, some of them? We had a crowd of brethren who should display what I called not even basic good manners. When someone could get up to sing just because they didn't like a solo, put their head down. My friend, that's not even good manners. Good, my friend, I'll tell you one thing. I was brought up before I was saved. I was brought up with a simple thing called manners. I was taught that. And I've seen us do things, my friend, that wasn't even basic good manners. My friend, if you don't like something, there's a better way of dealing with it. You don't have to display your ignorance publicly. But my friend, you see, that's what sin does. But praising the Lord never does that to you. Did you know that? Never. It makes your spirit free. That's why I do it. And when somebody says, Clinton, stop it, I said, I know somebody who agrees with you. They said, who? The devil. He's been trying to stop me for 31 years, amen? But the devil and me, we don't agree. Glory, hallelujah. I hate him and he hates me. Glory, hallelujah. What a beautiful understanding I have with the devil. I just hate him. We have a mutual disrespect for each other. My friend, I want to tell you, that's what sin will do to you. And you'll never bless anybody in this condition. Was David blessing anyone in this condition? So what happened? Let's take time to get the cure before we get the ham and eggs. Listen, dear friend, we must assure ourselves firstly, and I'll give you this quickly. We must assure ourselves of the loving kindness and the tender mercies of God. No matter how far we stray, God loves us. What does he say? Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving mercies and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. My friends, David appealed to God's loving kindness. Aren't you glad the Almighty's not fickle? As I say, my Savior's always on the high. He never has a morning. He has to take time alone. He never has a headache. And when I have one, or when I'm feeling really battered and bruised, thank God my Savior's on a high. He's always on high. He's always on the throne and he's able to lift me up to where he is. And it was according to the loving kindness and tender mercies of God. But my friend, we must acknowledge our sin and confess it frankly, fully to God. For listen to the word of God here. Verse 1, my transgressions. Verse 2, my iniquity. Verse 2, my sin. Verse 4, this evil. And he confesses it before God. And you can compare that. I'll quote it for you. But in Psalm 139, remember these lovely words that bear comparison. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be... Oh. My friends, we've got to get here. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, we've got to get there. Let the Lord search us. See if there be any wicked way that he may lead us and confess it. It's my transgression. It's my iniquity. It's my sin. Have you heard the phraseology of today? See what she's done wrong. See what he's done wrong. See what they've done wrong. My friend, blessing comes when I say, oh God, see what I've done wrong. I was talking to the Lord as I was walking around at 5 o'clock this morning. I was saying, oh Lord, maybe this problem in this conference is John Clunas. You'll have to deal with me, Lord. It's my sin. It's my sin. It's my transgression. And I've got to confess it before the Lord. Friends, we've got to take our eyes off other people. And we've got to look at our own sins. Let me just give it to you very quickly, and you'll see it here. We confess our sins. Thirdly, we must ask and receive by faith forgiveness and cleansing from all sin. Thank God, my friend, our God forgives and forgets. He took the ordinance of the handwriting that was against us, and my friend, he nailed it to his cross. I love that song they sang last night. The old account was settled long ago. Amen. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account outstanding for sins yet unforgiven. But the record's clear today that he washed my sins away and the old account was settled long ago. My friend, God can take a soiled soul and a filled mind and a conscience is convicted, and a depressed heart, and an affected body, and a sour spirit, and sealed lips. God can take the whole lot And he can forgive it, and he forget it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And beloved, that's written to believers, although I use it in the gospel. But that's for the saved. And that, my friends, fourthly, we must seek a fresh infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. No service for God can be effective while sin is harbored in our hearts. Do you remember when Miriam complained against Moses? My friend, God held the whole camp of God up for 7 days. He held back the blessing. And my friend, maybe to move forward in this, in the future, for each of our hearts, maybe for my ministry, maybe for Ed's ministry, maybe for Larry's ministry, maybe for the ministry here, the moving forward will have to be that God will have to deal with harbored sin in our hearts. And then he says, I'll lift the floodgates. And I'll let the tide come sweeping in, blessed tide of full salvation, washing, cleansing,